Forever Dog.
Robert Mueller. Remember when that guy was like,
oh yeah,
the hero. And then just like,
and then like they dressed up Robert De Niro with like 12 pounds of prosthetic makeup to make it look like he'd been having like a, like he had a violent allergic reaction.
Look out, Trump. De Niro did Mueller.
The audience was like not sure whether or not like to applaud, because they knew that it wasn't a cast member, but it was just like, who the fuck is that? Cold open this week is going to be a When Harry Met Sally reunion, only it's going to be just trying to, like, the redhead who does the press conferences.
Oh, yeah. Carrot Top.
It's not her name.
No, Carrot Top was one of the press secretaries at one point. Remember when he would go in the trunk and he'd be just like, this is you guys. And he'd, like, pull a super soaker out and spray all the press corps.
Be like, the president is indisposed, and he'd take out a trash disposal. Beep, they're like, beep. And then he's like, just seriously, the president's been shot. Where were you when Carrot Top told you that the president had been assassinated?
Yeah, that was, I remember it was November 1963, and I was playing with my hoop and stick, running down the street, dreaming someday of getting lemon candy.
I was looking for maybe
I get a single lemon candy for Christmas.
I had lost my keys, so I couldn't roller skate.
You could not skate without those roller skate keys, and you were grounded. And then suddenly, Walter Cronkite came on and said, we're going to go live to Carrot Top at the White House. And Carrot Top was like,
and then he had a fan, and he was like, this blows my brains out. Or he had a balloon. He was like, I'm blowing.
Yeah.
And then it popped.
Yeah. And then he said, don't worry, 4 months of Beatles are going to be here to fix everything.
64.
Yeah.
The British invasion.
It really, yes. And what an invasion it was.
The crops were destroyed.
Yes. It was kind of like the coronavirus, but for music. Like a positive coronavirus with songs instead of illness. But I remember that the president really thought the Dave Clark Five were going to be the biggest of the batch.
That's why he was shot.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Clark was the one who killed him.
Kennedy thought that
Clark killed Kennedy.
Oh my God.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Yeah, of course. What is it?
When the band Jerry and the Pacemakers came around.
Yeah.
Was the word pacemaker not associated with something that you put in an old man's heart in order to let him survive a few extra years?
Well, Julie. Like,
did it mean something else?
Julie, I have no idea.
Because why that else is would an you?
Because maybe the best question I've ever heard.
Call yourself like Lester and the Defibrillators?
Yeah, and the Stents.
Yeah. That actually sounds like a cool punk name.
Yeah, Brett and the Stents. Right? If Brett started a band, like, we're called Brett and the Stents. Speaking of punk, here comes this next song. And then he just starts playing his next song. Every song, people are like, you're the only one with a microphone. He could be like
singing of parents.
Yeah. And then he goes into a punk version of Parents Don't Understand, which is,
you know, I can't.
Go ahead. Oh, no.
Who's that?
What's that,
wait,
Skylar?
Who's that? Hold on. Skylar, your voice sounds deeper and more confident.
Yeah.
Skylar, are you there?
Oh, sorry. This is actually Brett. I'm back on duty this morning.
Welcome back, Brett. It's so nice to see you.
Oh, it's so good to be back.
Your kid is in college now?
Yes. Yeah. He got into, I don't want to say which college, but it's it's in Boston. I don't want to say which one, though.
Is this one of the Boston schools? Little boy I carried.
I was gonna say too. I'm sorry. I stepped. I think way back when I stepped on you guys when you're talking about Jerry and the Pacemakers. But I just wanted to bring up that I can't find where they came up with Pacemakers. But the original name of the band was Jerry Marsden and the Mars Bars. Was the original name of the band?
That would be my favorite band ever. Then
is that your favorite candy bar?
No, it's a candy bar though. That's close enough.
That's close enough for it to be your favorite band ever.
Absolutely.
Just naming any band after a candy bar will make sure that Tom will love you.
Yep. I Want Candy. I Want Candy.
What about that stupid song about a lollipop? Not just lollipops.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop. Boom, 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 boom. Right?
I want great a pop. Lollipop. That's what I want. That's why I'm singing you this special song.
Do you think anybody, they're making that song, they're just like, what are we doing? Guys just like, yeah, I don't know. I'm writing a song about a lollipop. And back then, like if you're 30, you have four kids and you're already like so like, yeah. This guy's just like, I was in World War II. Like a guy fought in the Korean War. He's got six kids, he's 30, and he's the bass player on the song Lollipop.
Oh!
Ah, those were the good old days when you hear a song like that and you just realize no one particularly cares about anything. This will do. Just listen to it and get back to work.
Nobody wanted women in the workplace is what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, no, that goes without saying. It's just like
ladies. I'm just picturing. Yeah. Why aren't you pregnant yet?
Yeah.
It's called a baby boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom. Lower those panties.
I should say, what? This is double threat.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Double threat. And my name is Tom, and I'm one of the two hosts of the show, along with my esteemed partner in crimity.
Crimity. Popeye is my partner in crimity.
Julie Klausner. Happy Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanahska. Hashana Tova. Wimpy had to fast.
There's like Popeye's canceled. Popeye's canceled for wishing me a happy Yom Kippur.
Yeah, because there's no pork, Popeye. Come on, Popeye, tighten it up.
Okay.
Oh, Popeye.
Did you say one of you said one of the two hosts of the show, right?
No, I said this one.
Now. What's going on now, Brett? What's this? What's the question?
I don't know. I just want to make sure. I just want to see maybe when I was away I got promoted. I don't know.
No,
I just
you wanted didn't. To clarify. You didn't.
Okay.
In your absence, you are wondering whether the two of us, well, I will say that's a reasonable question. In my absence, did you feel like you could not sustain the show?
Well, that was not the implication. I have no, you know, worries about that. I just thought maybe, I don't know.
Yes,
you know,
yes it was. That was the
goodness of your heart or just, you know, various looking
how
at
did
numbers
we do?
And things.
How did we do without you? Is that the question?
I mean, I would be curious to know that as well. I'm sure you did fine, but how did you feel? How did you feel?
It was a blast. Ease to it. There was an ease to it last mm-hmm. week.
Let's prank call Skylar and pretend to be Jamie Lee and fire him.
Yeah. Or what if we go, where are you?
Hi, Skylar. You do Jamie Lee because you do like a higher voice. You're doing Jamie Lee like a high voice, the way like men when they imitate women in like cartoons.
Wait, Jamie Lee?
Yeah, that's who he works for.
Remember? That's right. Yes. Okay.
Remember, he went on for like 25 minutes about how great she
was. That's right. Yeah.
And you were like, you got the job already. Yeah,
exactly.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
Brett,
don't worry about
that. That's preferable to me.
Preferable to you going on about
kitchen activity.
At least Skylar was talking about podcasting, not cooking. Brett's just talking about something completely outside of what we do.
I like that about Brett. I don't need someone constantly comparing me to someone in my industry that is cleaning my clock.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to be that invoked all the time. Jamie Lee's the greatest. Jamie Lee's so cool.
I work with the writer community. She's like the most wonderful person, and I just so great. Also, I can't imagine being busy enough that I'd need an assistant right now.
Yeah, just be like, order me a burrito.
Now I'll order you a burrito.
Yeah. How are we looking on that burrito?
Let's see. Wait, I'll order you one. You order me one, and then we'll do burrito races. We'll see which one gets here faster. Yeah. And then while we're doing that, let's watch a movie together.
Yeah. Let's watch TV. Let's watch The Dirt. Motley Crue movie. What if The Dirt was Motley Crue's show, like their afternoon? Like if they had a show like 1
PM. instead of like the chew,
the talk, and then it's just The Dirt. It's Mick Mars. Just Mick Mars trying to do like cooking segments.
It could be a gardening show if it's called The Dirt.
It could be. That'd be great if Motley Crue had an early afternoon talk show.
Brett, what would you say to the prospect of gardening now that you've mastered cooking?
I was actually just thinking about that this week. I was thinking,
could you see yourself like getting into gardening now?
Well, because some of the best chefs, they swear by, they have their own store, they have an herb garden. They make their own stuff. That's really the next step, is having full control over your ingredients start to finish. So I would absolutely, I think I might start with an herb garden and then go from there, see how it goes.
Get a slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Great.
Forever talk. It's like we're podcasts that don't do so well end up. Is it like the Boehm like abattoir? yum yum, what's this?
I always love when the chefs talk about just like, I work in the kitchen all day, all night. My favorite thing after work, just a simple sandwich. I just like to get home. I just have a hamburger. A simple hamburger.
I just like to get home and a cold cut up a stick beer. Of butter and eat it.
Yeah. I crack open a beer. I unwrap a stick of butter.
And I cut it into these really, cold, soft cubes.
These little,
and then I
chew on them. I let them just melt in my mouth. Just a simple stick of butter and a beer.
A cold beer.
Yeah, I just like the simple pleasures. I take out a giant tub of Crisco and a beer.
And then a shot of hydrogen peroxide.
Then I take out some ivermectin and some Crisco.
I just like make like a little charcuterie board of ivermectin.
I freeze some ivermectin and then I cut it up. and I have a charcuterie board.
I spread the horse paste on like a couple of saltines, just average saltines that you get at the grocery store. Some of those are the best.
Just the
like
how chefs
like want you to like bow down at their approval of things like Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
They expect you to be like, oh my yeah. God,
they like wheat thins also.
Right. Be like, you know what's really surprising? It's like the best oil to use, Wesson.
Yeah, it's just simple. And you just use the stuff and then you start to realize they're just making garbage where they're just like, just take some Ritz crackers and crumple them up. You crumble them up and put them in the plate. Then you pour some melted butter on top. Then you take some jelly. It's like, what are you making? Just, this is weird. Look, I'm having a hard time. I just got to say, I'm having a real hard time at home. And this just kind of makes sense to me right now.
A box
of Ritz crackers crumpled up, all crumbles.
I do love the idea of like a Joe Rogan approved charcuterie board with like horse paste.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that some people are gargling, not iodine, but I think like betadine. Like that's like mm-hmm. the new, have you seen that, Brett?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the newest. That's this week's ivermectin.
Maybe that could be like a flight of like different kinds of, you know, gargles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great. You get a Joe Rogan charcuterie board with, like you said, ivermectin.
Mm-hmm. What else do you eat when you're hydrochloroquine? I'm sure we could maybe we could crush it up with a mortar and pestle and use mm-hmm. it to like bread something. Brett, do you like where I'm going with this?
I love it. When you said mortar and pestle, it's just like
you got excited.
The bells went off. Yeah.
Do you have a mortar and pestle, Brett?
Or do you have a mortar and you're saving up for a pestle?
Yeah.
You know what? I've had forever a list of like kitchen, you know, wish list for the kitchen, things to get. The next
He wants us to get him. I swear to you, the next on my
list is mortar and pestle.
Message received.
Yeah, we got the hint.
Don't worry. Message received.
If you use that mortar and pestle to crush up drugs
mm-hmm.
and put them in new capsules.
I did just get a scale last week, so I could. Once I get the mortar and
pestle. Was that for the baby? Don't use the scale for the baby. For things besides the baby. If you use that scale for things that have to do with cooking or drugs, I'm going to be so mad.
I'd be furious.
I mean, it's exclusively for cooking. I don't know, it's a...
Oh, you got a cooking scale?
It's a kitchen scale. We should be getting...
Who got you that? They should be getting you diapers.
I got it for myself.
You bought it for yourself. That was my next.
This guy's pulling the trigger on self purchases.
He's already like
a week old.
Okay, baby's here. What's important? Self care.
Yeah, he's like, baby's here. Good, check. Like he crosses that off on the to do list. Have baby. Crosses that off. Looks. What's next on it? Get a scale. Get a cool kitchen scale. Amy, I'm going to the Grove. You watch your baby. I'm going to look. I want to find a cool kitchen scale.
Did you go somewhere like Bed Bath & Beyond where they do have stuff that would be helpful for babies? And then while you were there, it was like an impulse, kind of like, well, I'm here.
Absolutely not. I went to the Kitchen Surplus store in Glendale, which I highly recommend if you live in Los Angeles.
Low-priced wholesale. You woke up and you chose violence.
You went to the Kitchen Surplus store and figured enough of baby, enough of mommy.
How about baby me? How about the inner child?
Daddy needs a scale.
What else did you get? Anything else?
What else did I get? I got the scale. I got a new knife sharpener.
Oh my God. This is what you're doing while Amy's rocking your baby is you're sharpening your knives.
And you know what he's going to do now, Julie, because you put it in his head with this garden.
Yeah.
He's going to be out there at night. Shoveling, digging, tilling, hoeing, planting all night long. He's going to be out there in the garden, night gardening.
when you pruning. Said that, I thought you meant you were, I pictured him with the knife standing guard of his garden, like watching out for any coyotes, critters, gophers, varmints. Well,
that'll be next, but initially he's got to get the garden growing. He's going to be like, we need fresh basil in this house. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. trust the basil from the store anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gelson's is trying to kill me.
Yeah. Gelson's is trying to kill me.
I also got a new fish spatula. I forgot about that.
Oh, what's a great. Fish spatula?
That's a spatula designed for fish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need you to be way more specific. Yeah. How is it different than a pancake spatula?
It's like long and thin. It's kind of longer and thinner, so it can get fully mm-hmm. under a, you know, no matter how big of a fillet you're dealing with. Because, you know, most spatulas are kind of, they're a little stumpy. This one's long and thin. You can really get under the whole fillet. Because you ever had that thing where you stick a spatula under a fish and then you try to, you know, and then half of it falls apart and
no.
it's flaky?
Have you ever? This
are
is from
you
Brett.
Tired of fears?
His observational fish stand-up. Yeah. Like, you ever have that thing where you're...
Yeah.
Or what were you going to say? Are you tired
of
having...
Like one of those infomercials that always have the guy be, are you tired of spatulas that don't flip the whole fish? Nah. Look out. Look out, Dynasty Typewriter. Brett's coming with his one-man show about... fish spatulas.
Meanwhile, it's like 2 weeks in and he's like, this baby won't eat any of the fish.
Yeah. This baby, I made a trout. I made a braised trout with...
It's been rubbed
a mango chutney reduction.
And it has lemon verbena? Is that what that's called?
Verbena? What is it,
whatever.
Brett? You know
what is it, Brett? You know what verbena, lemon verb. I see the dude Tom Sharpling. I see these things.
Yeah, that's.
I see these lotions out there.
You first. You lemon, didn't say look. You have to say look at the beginning.
Look. I see these lotions out there. Why lemon verbena.
I don't know why that entertained me so.
You think I understand why your cat's thing broke me in half? I've been thinking about it all week. I still can't. Mm-hmm. I think the thing about it was you saying that cats are very mad today.
Last week.
I've been trying to get to the... And listen, I know it's not fun for people who, you know, have a good time and enjoy each other's jokes and company and laugh to say, hey, remember when we had that good time and we... made each other laugh. I know that that's no fun to listen to, but I have been trying to get to the bottom of why that broke me in half.
It's because you're excited about Broadway coming back.
I am excited about Broadway.
Broadway, baby. What is the first show you're going to see back?
Either... Assassins or Company, I'm most looking forward to. But if somebody gave me a ticket for Wicked, I would say, yes, let's do it. Mm-hmm. If they gave me a ticket to pretty much anything, I would probably say,
so
yes,
Wicked is coming back?
Wicked's back. Hamilton's back. Lion King is back.
Did Wicked ever go away?
Everything went away.
But I mean, in terms of pre-COVID. Did Wicked's run end?
Wicked is a mainstay. Wicked preceded Frozen as being about two sisters that with like a very strong score that will ensure that generations of little girls will see it over and over and over again and love it.
I gotta start seeing some of these Broadway shows. Hamilton. That's the one I hear good things about. Hamilton.
You would hate it.
Oh, I know.
Because
I
you fought it. For because you fought for the other side at the in the war.
Yeah, the good music side. I always like when some old fossil like David Crosby is just like, I hate hip hop. But Hamilton, that's good. Like, that's hip hop. It's like, no, right. It's not.
Right.
Might as well be freaking Telly Savalas. Might as well be doing the thing as a commercial for a casino. Like, that level of, my name is, or like Rappin' Rodney.
I love Rappin' Rodney.
I don't know why I thought Telly Savalas would do a good rap.
Telly Savalas would have been a great rapper if he could take out his lollipop.
Oh, there it is. Look. And people say that Ass Cat's dead. But we just showed that it's alive.
Alive and well.
Ass Cat, Rat Scraps.
Brett, did you miss us?
Oh, terribly. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you listen to the show we did last week?
You know, I haven't yet. And the reason
I asked you this already and you hadn't then either. You've had time.
There was a message.
But now it's on principle.
There was a message in that show, Brett.
Brett, you should have listened to it.
There was a message for you in that show that if
you
would have heard it.
I gave you all the clues, Mr. Policeman. I gave it all the clues.
Trust me, Brett, you'd be sitting in a pretty good spot if you had been able to hear the question, the message, and answered it.
Should today's show just be Brett listening to last week's show?
Brett, do you think there's a message for you in the episode or not? Do you think I'm tricking you?
Wait, hold on, Brett. Put yourself on mute for a second.
Okay. Yep.
Tom.
Yeah. What's that?
Which message?
There's no message.
Okay.
I just want to get him to listen.
Okay. Got it. Okay. What? All right, Brett. You can unmute yourself.
Okay, I'm back.
When you think about the idea of telling someone to unmute themselves means they can hear what you're saying.
Why didn't you listen to it, Brett?
Here's the thing.
He's jealous.
I'm not jealous at all. I'm very happy for Skylar. I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. It seems like people on Twitter liked him a lot. I'm very happy for that. I was gonna say in the television show Lost, there's a character Desmond, and he's read every Charles Dickens book except for one, and he's saving it in the show. He's saving that one book for like a special time in his life when he's just sort of relaxed and he's free and he can really enjoy it. And that's the way I feel about this episode. I couldn't listen to it right away because obviously I was having a kid. I was very busy. But then I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this. I'm going to save this as a treat. It's the only double threat episode I haven't listened to.
Oh, I get it. I get it, Brett. I get it. You want this one. This is in your in case of fire.
Yeah.
Smash glass. It's in case of not having in case of needing fun, smash glass, put headphones on and sit back and laugh.
That's right. This is like I have to go on the lam suddenly and I'm on the plane, you know, and then it's like a moment. I'm waiting for like a, you know, a really key moment in my life where I can really enjoy it and then it means something to me. But it's kind of, I don't know, I kind of like the idea that there's this one double threat episode out there that I haven't listened to yet. I don't know.
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Could you mute yourself for a second?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
What is he talking about?
There's a character that's read all the Charles Dickens books.
Yeah, he starts referencing Lost.
There's like, oh, there's this character. Oh, yeah, this is my favorite character on the show. Exactly. He's read all of the books. Of the great Charles Dickens, except one of the books of Dickens. And he's going to save that Dickens.
I think it's our mutual friend is the one he hasn't read.
Brett, you're supposed to be on mute.
You're muted. All he had to do, double mute yourself now.
Double mute it, Brett. And meanwhile, he's like, I haven't had the time. I've had a baby. He's like at the Glendale.
He's like at the Glendale cooking supplies
being like, is there someone who can unlock the strainer case?
Yeah. He's at the Glendale kitchen surplusing. And first of all, go to a place where it's not just surplus. Why do you go to a place where they got too much of it? Go to a place that's just, why can't you go to a place that's just the right amount of stuff? You can't go to the surplus place.
He went to like, lower your voice. He could hear us.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he went
to that place. Oops, too many fish spatulas. Yeah. But they wouldn't let him in.
He's at oops, too many fish spatulas. Putting these things in his hand, feeling like how it feels on his wrist. Like
they have a laminated photo of him with different beard, different facial hairstyles. Yeah. They say, don't let this guy in because he is weird.
He's going to play with the spatulas all day long. He'll be there testing the wrist action out. Mm, this one's got some give to it.
And then
I like the way this feels.
If you give him too much time, he'll tell you about this character that read all of Charles Dickens' books.
Lost. He cites Lost. All he had to say was, guys, I was busy. I had a baby last week.
It's like, I've never seen Lost. I know it's about people on a friggin' island. It's not about a guy who's like, oh, I'm saving my favorite Charles Dickens.
He's got to weave some fantasy about Lost and secret hidden episodes that he can play.
He just said he didn't want to listen, guys. To it.
Busy week. All he had to say, two words, busy week.
He's jealous, I think.
Had a kid, busy week. Meanwhile, he's at the place. Right. Meanwhile, he's at the place going like, is this one good for cod? Is this one good for cod? How about grouper? How's this fish special gonna be with grouper?
This is why he got kicked out of oops, too many fish specials. Yeah.
Norwegian salmon?
And they got the manager out, and the manager did that thing where it's like, you know, I think you'd be happier at Glendale Overstock or whatever.
I called somebody over at the Glendale Kitchen Surplus, and they're expecting you. They're ready for you.
They've got a knife sharpener that they'll sell you. You're gonna love it.
Yeah. But then we're trying to. We got to now wait for this guy to just finally listen to this episode. He's got to do this tail as if it's freaking Castaway. It's Castaway. He's not opening the package in Castaway.
As you'll remember in the film Castaway, and I sort of relate to that character because.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't want to listen to the episode. Like, he makes it like it's an attribute. Like, he actually tried to make it like he was compliment. Oh, right. Guys, I didn't want it. To listen
it's,
to
it's
it.
Like, it's like the like I'm saving this bottle of, sparkling wine in my refrigerator.
Well, that's actually another comparison is the Paul Giamatti scene at the end of Sideways where he's got the one bottle of wine that he has it in the hamburger restaurant there. That would also be a similar comparison. It's special. I think it's a special thing, and I'm waiting for a special time to listen.
Sure. No, it makes perfect sense to both of us, Brent.
You're jealous of Skylar.
You're mad that Skylar went and got us Paul Skylar Walker Hauser.
In 20 minutes.
We turned around and we got.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Brett, who's the guest next week? Don't we have a guest coming up next week? Do we have a guest?
I received an alert that I don't know how this happened, but Paul Walker Hauser from Cruella, from Richard Jewell, I Tonya. Yeah, is a great actor. Is going to be on the show next week. Very exciting. This is very exciting.
Yeah,
I guess I should take more time off. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, now you're being passive.
No.
It's amazing things happen when I'm not here. Apparently, so it's very cool for the show.
Here it comes.
Here we are, and here
that's great. What's good for the show is good for me, I guess.
Brett, you want to go get someone.
Nothing's stopping you.
Get. I say to you, go get us.
Larry Fishburne.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne.
He's got the word fish in his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd like.
Oh, yeah, that is an in. Yeah,
yeah. Lawrence Fish Bachelor.
It's gonna be an unhinged guest request.
Yeah,
Lawrence Fishburne's publicist is gonna be like, this is going in the no pile.
Yeah,
dear.
This one goes in the alert the authorities pile. Forwards it right to the FBI. Hello, I'm from the Forever Dog Network. Guy stops reading at that point.
No, it's 5 or 6 paragraphs about fish and rubs and glazes and his fish spatula.
Speaking of fish.
And then he's just like, one thing, even though I love Lawrence Fishburne, one thing I will never do is burn fish.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne's rep is like, just honestly, just hit, just start 911.
Hello, 911. What's your emergency? Yeah,
I work with Larry Fishburne, and I've gotten a press request, and it makes very little sense.
Could you be more specific?
Who's,
not really.
Who's working the phone there? Pee Wee Herman? Well, you did the voice art. Paycheck, Mr. Harmon. Mr. Harmon. I'm going to just say this. I'm not going to name names. I was in a work situation with some younger folk.
Yep.
And they said, I mentioned Pee Wee's Big Adventure. And then they said, oh, yeah, we never saw that. And then one of them said, I can never tell the difference between Pee Wee and that other character. And you know who the other character was? Ernest.
Hold on, let me guess. Oh no!
Ernest.
These are Zoomers or Millennials?
I don't. They look.
I'd like to know who I'm beating the shit out of.
Nah, they were just some young talented writers, but they didn't. They don't know who Pee Wee is, and they were like, "Is that Ernest?"
Well, in Ernest, I will be beating the shit out of them this weekend.
The importance of being earnest.
Gosh, the other day, speaking of the Jewish holiday, sorry, Brett. Everyone's moving in on your job these days. I've never seen my dad be more disappointed in me when I knew Clara Peller's name.
Yeah.
Because I learned. No, he looked at me like, and I was like, because I don't know anything about anything. I'm really bad, especially like a lot of different areas I'm bad at, but geography specifically. Like I'll ask, and math too. I'll ask questions where he'll look at me like I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. And I am in many ways, but I said Clara Peller and he was just so visibly disappointed, but apparently she was, and Clara Peller, for those who don't know, is the Where's the Beef lady.
Yeah. For Wendy's hamburgers had commercials way back when where they'd make fun of how small the burgers were at other chains.
Sure. And apparently she was fired after she did, without Wendy's permission, an ad for Campbell's soup for beef soup or whatever. And it was an ad where her arms were wrapped around this giant can of soup. And she goes, I finally found it.
Wow. Clara Peller, really? You put her rogue on that list of rat. You put her with that other rat, that rat from the phone thing. Can you hear me? That rat.
Yeah.
The rat was working for Sprint, right? At one point, was it Sprint?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where did he jump over to?
No, he jumped to Sprint.
He jumped to Sprint
from Verizon.
From Verizon. I would not want to make Verizon angry.
No.
So rat. I like thinking about the guy from Wendy's just like being so mad at this old woman and being like, get that battle axe in my office. Yeah. I want to fire her to her face.
Bring that fossil in here right now.
I want to see that. I want to see that old bitch when I tell her she's fine. She better have her social security line. I'm going to destroy her. Yeah. I'm going to kill all of her grandchildren and make her watch.
This is a highlight of my week. You know, I'm going to fire Clara Peller. Yeah. Where's the beef? More like, where's your next paycheck? Because it ain't coming from us.
And then the secretary's like, it sounds like you two have a beef. And he goes, you're fired.
You're fired.
Goes, you're next. You're next. Peller.
Who else wants to get fired? Who else wants to?
He's drinking. It's
who else wants some of this? I'll fire all of you. Where's the beef? You're all fired. You, Peller, all of you, get out of here. I don't need any of you.
I don't need any. I never needed anyone. I never needed anyone except my father.
You just need me and my square spatula. Oh, Brett, you should get one of those spatulas.
Yeah. Is this Dave Thomas? Is this who this character is?
No, we're just
the magnate. Okay. He's the executive who looks like shit. Mm-hmm. Dave Thomas looks like a young Warren Beatty compared to what this guy probably looked
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
He has like stains on his shirt that you just like are just like, what body fluid does that correspond yeah. to? The body can make
something
the
like
body
that.
Can make a stain from what like
yeah.
What?
Seems very viscous.
What liquid is that?
It certainly is a big bun. It's a very big bun. Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. Your Wendy's she, kind of beef.
She makes Larry Bud Melman look like Sir Laurence Olivier. Clara Peller, yikes, that the read on that. That almost feels like outtakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Benjamin.
And Ramsey would have been better.
Yeah.
Where's the beef? Owen! Bring me a soda with some ice in it.
You're right, Julie, about this story. It was for Prego, which was owned by Campbell's.
Okay.
Prego. I got the commercial here. The one that right. the one
there's,
that got her canned.
The two other women looking at the hamburger are acting up a storm. They're going like, oh well, this bun certainly seems to be very
it
big.
It is a big bun.
It is a big bun, big and fluffy. Where is it? Wait, who's everybody focus on? Who's like, the star of this thing now?
I played Lady Macbeth. I went to Juilliard.
Maybe.
Ann Miller and I did a dance together on. I was in Pal Joey.
And yeah, way back there.
Wait, let's see this.
Imagine what? The other lady at home being like, I was the one setting the whole thing up. I'm saying that the bun is big and fluffy. I'm holding that thing down. All Clara did was, yeah, I started just grunting about the beef. And now that's what everybody wants.
It sucks to be the straight man.
Yeah.
I found it.
Real beef. It's in there. In new Prego Plus spaghetti sauce with beef and onions.
I really found it.
Prego Plus with chunks of ground sirloin beef. Lots
good for
of
her.
Beef.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
I finally found it.
It's spaghetti sauce you can really sink your fork into with that homemade Prego taste. Try all four delicious varieties, including new Prego Plus with beef.
Boy, did I find it.
I love it.
So just remember this when
she's a squirrel. She got her nut.
She when people say that, like, oh, the people these days are so talentless. It's like it's always been a part of things that there's a range of talent.
You really don't like what Clara Peller can do.
But what I'm going to say is she's got it.
She's got it.
You can't bottle it. You can't manufacture it.
You can't put it in one of them Prego Plus jars.
No, this won't. If you've got it, those other two ladies who were in that Wendy's commercial.
They laid all the pipe.
Clara Peller comes in there.
Steals the show.
Can barely get the line, where's the beef out? And she becomes a national phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got it.
Yeah.
And I guess, where do I get it?
At the Glendale...
sewer.
Sir, what?
Fine.
Oh, it!
That's it.
Pennywise. No, I get it. I love it. It took me a second. I was going to Glendale, the surplus place in my mind, but you're clearly like able to compartmentalize that. It's not like I hypnotize you whenever I say the Glendale surplus. It's not like you go off into like La La Land. So to speak.
Julie, guess what I'm getting you for Halloween?
What the heck is that? What are you showing me? What is that? I hate it. What is this? You're giving me an animated It, Georgie?
Yes, $160. I'm going to go to Party City.
And what is it? It's like the little kid at the beginning of It.
Yeah, look, he's missing his arm.
I don't want that, Tom. Don't get that for me.
I'm going to get it for you. And then when you get it, it's going to play Faith No More. What is it? You say, what is it?
So that's for people
that... You wanted a robot, Georgie.
That's for people that like to dress up like Pennywise and they are frustrated that there's no one else in the scene.
I guess if you want to act Pennywise against... If you can't get anybody to play Georgie, yeah.
No one wants to play Georgie.
By a robot Georgie.
Where'd you find that thing?
Party City.
Glendale Surplus?
I'm not allowed in Glendale Surplus, apparently.
What did you do?
The taint of Double Threat of other associates has banned anyone associated with Double Threat from going to Glendale Kitchen Surplus.
We've mentioned them so many times. Brett, will you reach out to them and see if they want to advertise on the show?
Yeah, sure.
We should do more local ads.
We should.
That'd be great, man.
If you have a local ad, if you're coming, if you got a local thing, we'll do a cheapo ad for you.
Oh, I was never mind.
Not cheapo. I mean, cheapo's not. Mm-hmm. Not cheapo. Just like
we'll tell them that it's cheaper than it is.
But it won't be the same price for everybody.
I don't know.
Charge Dr. Pepper to do ads on the show.
Is Dr. Pepper a sponsor? I'd be thrilled if I wouldn't care either way. I just want free Dr. Pepper. But I could also pay for it. It's not like it's that expensive. Yeah, I can afford Dr. Pepper.
Wait, can you afford Diet Dr. Pepper, though?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Big ones, small ones. I don't know how the rest of the song goes.
No one does.
I just assume you're listing all the different kinds of coconuts that you have. Yeah.
Well, they certainly are lovely, though. Those coconuts. Or wouldn't it just be a thing where you're just like, those coconuts aren't that lovely.
I think the collection is lovely individually. I don't know how I can. Yeah. I'd have to see them. I think all together, you'd be impressed at the very least that he has more than, I don't know, four.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Sounds like something Donald Trump would say. like he would use the word lovely to describe his bunch of coconuts. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. I really do. They're lovely. like lovely. The worst, look, there are so many awful versions of Donald Trump. The worst version is adjective. Mm-hmm. Adjective using Donald Trump.
Right.
Using Donald Trump.
Terrific, spectacular one. Yeah. Like terrific.
It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. Like
right,
beautiful. Right. Well, you know this the arbiter like this of beauty.
This beautiful racetrack.
Yeah. This really is wonderful. It's beautiful. These coconuts are lovely.
I really have the loveliest bunch of coconuts.
Yeah. These are really the best coconuts ever. They're very lovely.
The loveliest. I saw a monkey with a coconut. I thought, I'm going to take those coconuts.
I thought you were doing Boys of Summer, Don Henley. Out on the road today, I saw a monkey with a coconut.
Know anything about those guys. That's the Eagles, right?
He was in the Eagles, yes.
I saw that Eagles documentary. I thought it was like a Christopher Guest movie.
Yeah.
It was just a portrait of one Buffona. One Buffona after another. Yes, I thought this is a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Yeah, I would say a not so lovely bunch of coconuts, actually.
I have no attachment to their music.
They do an amazing thing with that documentary where they're just like, yeah, we're going to have a 3-hour documentary on the Eagles. It's 3 or 4 hours, but they're just like, the half of this is going to be about the reformed version of the Eagle. Like, literally, we're not just going to rush through us getting back together. That's going to be the second half of this documentary is about the reformed Eagles. And you're like, why?
Right.
No one, it's like, no one cares. And then they play that song where they're just like, I want to smack your inner child. And you're
God.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Everybody's so soft now.
Right. And then I watched the Lula Rich documentary instead. Mm. And I said, now these are my assholes.
I'm halfway through. I watched 2 parts of it. I can't wait to watch the other 2.
So can we still work for them?
I am planning on it. I can say that.
And I'm more comfortable with you being on the West Coast. You're not going to steal any of my customers.
Well, I do have some leggings, Julie, that I want to show you. This is item 258 in here.
And this is like a print where there's like a lot of like Hitler's juggling.
It's Hitler's and leprechauns. And it's one of the prints that poor woman had to knock out.
You like that guy that was like, sometimes we ordered Chipotle and we called it Chipoo-poo for reasons I will not mention here.
I wanted to jump out a window when that guy. they should all go. They should all rot for the idea of, and on a serious note, for the idea of saying, hey, here's the way for you to get your dreams, to realize your dreams.
Yes.
Moms, women.
Women. It's always women for these pyramid schemes. Oh, it's Avon.
But they do that. And then the first thing they promote is like, oh, the second you start making money, we are telling you to spend the money on handbags to promote. To make yourself look wildly successful. We're telling you to, rather than be like, hey, you got that money, put some of it away for your kids. And like, it was not there's no such platform. There was no goal of actual betterment for their people. Telling them to just spend your bonus. Yes. We're telling you that's how to do it.
There's also a way to look better if you're making money, which is not wear LuLaRoe.
Yeah, well, it's very telling. The first thing they go tell them to do is go buy some non-LuLaRoe clothes.
Doesn't look like. Brett, did you watch this documentary or no?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Are you saving it?
Sounds
you're
great.
Saving it.
You saving
for
it.
A
you
say
like
day?
The guy on Lost who was like, I've read everything written by D.H. Lawrence. Yeah.
I tell you what, one fine day in the future, I'm going to sit down. It's going to be the best day of my life. I'm going to listen to last week's Double Threat. I'm going to watch this LuLaRoe documentary.
I got it.
Don't bother. Don't bother. Don't bother.
I'm like that, Brett. I got to say, I do get it. I'm like that with you, but with Stephen King books, except I've only read 4 of them. I'm just saving these other 130 of them.
906.
For a rainy day. Just like I'm like the guy on Lost. I'm saving.
Yeah, Desmond.
I'm just like Desmond on Lost. I'm saving this mile high stack of Stephen King books so I don't read all of them.
I gotta get some.
Someday I'll read Cellular. He had one about a haunted cell phone.
Was it a haunted cell phone?
Was it a haunted cell phone?
Tom,
the cell.
We've got to start a pyramid scheme.
We really do. We are leaving.
What are we wasting our time with? We could be starting these pyramid schemes.
Just picture you come to a Double Threat live show.
Yeah. Right?
Ooh. Then
you come to it, it's like, the music's playing like, there's like this generic up-tempo music. Yeah. Everybody's in the audience. And we'll send Brett out to like be the crowd, the warm-up person.
Psych them up.
Hey, how's everybody doing today? Are you ready for Julie and Tom? They're going to be coming out soon, but we need your energy.
I don't hear you.
We need big energy from everybody.
Keep making them go louder and louder.
And we also are going to send around some of our reps are going to sit with you and just to do personality profiles and gauge.
I think that Double Threat Live is us coming out and doing a presentation about why you're going to want to do a $5,000 buy-in kit, starter kit.
Yeah.
And what should we sell?
What should we sell? Fish spatulas? I know a place that has a surplus.
I promise you, though, that they're not going to be as popular as other things.
Do we want to sell cookware and things like that?
Well, I mean, that's what they did for Tupperware. Sure, we could do that. But then I feel like Brett would have to be the face of it, which might be good when we inevitably get sued.
When we get in trouble, it'll be like the guy who played Crazy Eddie. Everybody's screaming at him on the street. Meanwhile, the real Crazy Eddie is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that's true. We'll just call it Brettware then. Yeah.
The real Crazy Eddie's like, yeah, that's the guy right there. It's Crazy Eddie. And that guy's like, I'm an actor. I played Crazy Eddie. Meanwhile, Eddie Artel was his name. He's like moving in the shadows, just like,
yeah,
he went that way. Go get him. But yeah, we'll call it Brett. We'll call it
Brettware.
Brettware, Brett Life. Like, we'll just have different, like, Brett blank.
Pans and, like, pots and pans.
Like,
and stuff.
Brettware, Brett.
Fish spatulas.
Yeah.
We already moved past that, Brett. It's not just going to be fish spatulas. We're trying to broaden what Brettware means. Also, who invited you to these preliminary meetings?
Sorry, I was trying to find some music. Is this good?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is.
That's pretty good. Lifestyle. Health. Happiness. Family. Now, Tom, you take it from here.
Have you ever wondered when your dreams are going to come true?
Well, the answer is you're responsible for when they begin. And if you decide yes, then the answer is yes.
I did it and I'm so happy.
And if you want your dream to come true, I want you to get on your feet. Shake off all those bad vibes, and I want you to say, heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I can't hear you. That wasn't loud enough. You know, I used to stay in bed until 6 p.m.
That's all.
And I would order.
you just say, I used to stay in bed till 6 p.m. And then that's it.
And then we send Brett around with a giant backwards baseball hat and he collects everyone's money.
Yeah. Then we get we bring what's his face back in the fold.
Skyler.
Jerry.
Gary.
Okay. Spanky.
We wanted to say, oi. Hand me that wallet of yours, ma'am. What we got in this bag, eh? Well, well, well. Looks like someone didn't want to show their jewelry, did they? This jewelry belongs to Tom and Julie now.
Is there anything to like Jutaro? Brett Utah?
Brett Utah. I love it.
Brett Utah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Brett Utah.
But here's the other thing. I'm not sure what we're selling, but I'm getting surer and surer that it doesn't matter because if we're doing these generic presentations about believing in yourself and deciding to get out of bed before 6 p.m., then we can just probably take someone's money.
We might not need to ever figure out what we're selling if we just keep blurring things.
Yeah.
We just make it like people be just like, I think I just bought a franchise for their thing, but they never said specifically what.
Well, we could put together surprise grab bag envelopes where once a month we clean out our apartments and we just sort of put stuff in a bag that we're kind of done with.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's what you're selling.
Like a scrunchie.
I think they're making some of us into cult members. Other ones, they're just looking for her. They're looking for us to be their sales force.
Yeah. Well, we could definitely get Gary to like make some house calls if they're having, if they're not like buying enough leggings.
Well, well, well. Looks like someone's not selling their leggings fast enough, right?
Did you get to the part where the leggings all smell and they're breaking in half?
I cannot wait. They showed that in the intro for it, and I was like,
"Did you get to the part where that the founder is like starting to send women to Mexico to get gastric sleeve surgery?"
I cannot wait for all of it.
Well, I guess what I'm taking away from this conversation is that you didn't like my Met Gala look, which was all LuLaRoe leggings sewn together in a giant dress.
I didn't get it. Now I get it.
Well, it was a giant pyramid. Get it? It was a pyramid of leggings.
It really was America.
Yeah, my head popped out of the top of the pyramid, well, like the big old eyeball does in the friggin' dollar bill. And then my hat was also made out of leggings.
Mm-hmm.
I felt pretty.
No, I
you didn't like what I wore. I liked what you wore. You wore that Minions.
I dressed like a Minion because I figured that's America, right?
Yeah. It was a good, it was a sickening look. You turned a sickening look.
Should we do
something?
Well, speaking of pyramids,
Brett's back.
Tom and Julie, you're at the top of the podcast pyramid. It's unquestioned.
Yeah, no kidding.
Two of the greats in the game.
Water's and, wet also, Brett. There's another news flash for you. Water's wet also.
You're not only the best.
Water's wet.
You're not only the best at podcasting. You're also a benevolent. You like sharing your knowledge and wisdom with other podcasts, which brings us to a classic segment on Double Threat, Podcast Rescue. Podcast Rescue is a segment where
do we have a song? Do we have a theme song or something for Podcast Rescue?
Yeah, sure, we do actually.
Podcast Rescue.
Just 1 second. Let me pull it up.
Should it just be cracking cocaine? Doing cracking cocaine. To get high. That's what you say you love.
That's what
you say. But it's really insane. You could die. What are you thinking of? What is it? Because nobody's
using the crack and cocaine.
So on Podcast Rescue, what we do is Julie and Tom, you listen to another podcast that's out there, one that might need some help, and you try to give them some advice on how to improve their podcast. And normally, we look at podcasts that are just starting out or a podcast that maybe has a kind of a smaller audience that could benefit the most from your expertise. But as I was thinking about this week's, I thought, you know, the big podcasts need help too. You can always get better. You can always improve. And even the biggest shows out there can get better. And this is truly a worlds colliding scenario because we've already mentioned this show, I think, twice in today's episode. But today I thought, Tom and Julie, you could rescue the most popular podcast in the world, the Joe Rogan Experience, is really in need of some rescue. And so I thought you guys could listen to some clips from the Joe Rogan Experience and try to give Joe some tips on how he can improve his show.
Yeah, let's
do it. The Tom and Julie Experience. So have these been, are the clips you're about to play for us, have they been
taken from shows like since he has gotten COVID, or are they before?
So we're gonna start with ivermectin and work backwards. I got a couple clips for you. As you know, this is the 1 year anniversary of Spotify buying the Joe Rogan Experience for $100 million.
As you know, you're talking like everyone subscribes to Podcast Biz monthly, like you, Brett. Not everyone is in the fold. That's like a real insider industry, and it's horrifying. So let's make sure we've underlined that.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, let me take off my podcast blinders here, and I'll tell you, if you don't know, Spotify bought the Joe Rogan Experience for $100 million. It's now exclusively on Spotify, and I'm sure they want to get their money's worth too, so maybe they're listening to this, and maybe this will give them some ideas for improving the show as well. So I've got a couple different clips that kind of highlight, you know, some of the main aspects of the show, some of the things that he sort of returns to the most, some of the key aspects of the show.
Okay.
And one of the most, one of the main things about the Joe Rogan Experience is that he loves to ask questions. He's a very curious guy. He loves to ask
really
all sorts of questions.
He really is. And that's one of the things I think is amazing about him. Mm-hmm. He's a seeker.
Mm-hmm. And earlier this month, that curiosity led him to try ivermectin, the horse dewormer ivermectin, after he contracted COVID during a stand-up tour. He also tried some other alternative medicines.
He's doing stand-up? Why would that guy ever leave his ranch in Austin? You know what I mean? Like, he must really love the art form, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It's a him and Bill Hicks and George Carlin. I wish he had more in common with Bill Hicks and George Carlin. there's something I'm circling here.
Those
I'm not
three,
exactly sure what
I,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, I got
that
it.
I wish Joe
I
Rogan
it.
Also had
I,
in common.
I was
with gonna Bill
say,
Hicks.
There's got to be a riddle. Like, you've got Bill Hicks, George Carlin, and Joe Rogan, and you have to take them across the river in a boat, but you can't live. You can't leave Bill Hicks alone with George Carlin.
Yeah, no, you know, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Bill Hicks.
Take Pryor out of that mix, please.
Oh, no. I just wish that Joe Rogan could tap into to what the other three
but
have in common.
That special quality that you can't put your finger
There's
on.
There's some indefinable quality.
You're not allowed to put your finger on it since you've been arrested for grave robbing. Hey, get out of this graveyard, Tom Sharp.
Let's see what
yeah,
this
sorry,
clown.
Go ahead.
So this is from episode 1703 of the Joe Rogan Experience.
We'll have that many by the end of the year, too.
And he's got one of his favorite guests, comedian Tom Segura, on here to talk about ivermectin and other COVID alternates instead of just taking the vaccine. So here we go.
USA Today, a few other plagues.
Yeah, and they're talking about ivermectin, right?
Yeah. Wait,
so
who's
what,
that?
Because I don't know.
Is that
I just
him?
Saw
is that Tom Segura?
So much news.
Yeah.
About,
okay, they all look the same. But
check
okay.
on you and see if you're all right. And you're like, you threw the kitchen sink at it, you said, yeah. Which was stuff that, you know, you took IV drips and what was it? Monoclonal
antibodies.
And then what is monoclonal antibodies?
It's the shit they gave Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what? So who said, or did you already want ivermectin? Like,
well, I had this guy on, Dr. Pierre Corey, and he is what is the organization? He's from Frontline COVID Critical Care Workers.
Frontline, they he's, gave him Frontline also the dog
well established
the
doctors,
dog flea treatment.
Thousands of people with COVID, and they've early on in the pandemic, they found some good efficacy with ivermectin. Frontline 19 Critical Care Alliance.
Okay.
That's the
ever, why does yeah. why do both of them have a roll of toilet paper in front of them?
They're like, we're both healthy guys. Everything's going fine.
Yeah, you know, they found some efficacy
I'm like, oh, just a minute. I need to use all of this.
I like the idea that that this clown, who probably is vaccinated also, if he's showing up at MMA fights and going
said?
To say, he hasn't said whether he is or isn't.
Okay.
But I mean, just logically, they're not letting people, like, they're being restrictive on, so corporations are being so diligent with that stuff. They probably, this dunce is probably not allowed in the building to do one of those dumb commentating things. But then
only murders in the building, no Rogans.
No Rogans in the building. He He then lists 16 things that he did that are not cheap. As opposed to like the one free shot that you can go get.
Yeah. It's the shit that Trump got. It's the shit that gave Trump.
The stuff that gave Trump.
It's the shit that gave Trump.
Yeah. Ugh.
So I had him on, and you know, he had talked to me about it. He's not the only doctor that told me to take it. Multiple doctors told me to take it. It's supposed to have what is the exact thing it's supposed to do? There's something that I highlighted. And this is obviously, I'm not a doctor. It says ivermectin was found to be a blocker of viral replicase, R-E-P-L-I-C-A-S-A, protease, and I don't know what this word is, human T-M-P-R-S-S.
Yeah, I know, but he's not a doctor. For a second, I thought he was. Imagine if your doctor came in.
I thought he just shorted out there. Yeah. He was just going P to P P.
I'm sure this word is.
F 2, 3, G.
Julie, imagine you're at your doctor's office. Your doctor comes back in, looking at your folder, at your file, and he goes, okay, I just want to tell you where things are at here. It's, I guess it's a, it's got like T P. I'm not sure what that word is, but it's like, but I'm so glad he clarified that he's not a doctor. Cause for a second I was just like, well, this guy is clearly a doctor with the authority that he's reviewing the contents of these, of the 15 things he took.
Look, you know what he should try to take? Crack and cocaine.
He should
to get high.
Yeah,
that's what you say you love.
He should get in his little isolation tank, fill it with ivermectin.
Really insane. You could die.
It's like a weird poem. That
should
song.
We do something? Should Dr. McGruff? Should Officer McGruff? Sergeant McGruff? Mm-hmm. Lieutenant McGruff? What's his rank?
McGruff, get in here.
Ivermectin, go.
The chief is mad at McGruff.
For what?
You blew up that children's hospital.
What were you doing? Making crack and cocaine. I work both sides. That's how I make my dough.
Oh no. McGruff is pulling a Heisenberg.
He's selling.
Oh no, McGruff is like Heisenberg. Now he's got the same hat.
I seize all the best stuff. Take it home. And then I make my brew.
I am the one who knocks.
Because nobody sells my crack and cocaine.
I'm going to put this ricin in your coffee. And you're going to die. Ricin.
He never got to do a song about meth. Oh, the sadness.
Tom McGruff. We got to get you back in the studio. We hardly knew ye.
But I do think it would be responsible of McGruff to warn people against the dangers of ivermectin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it would be great if McGruff would
come out of retirement from the grave.
I mean, I'm assuming McGruff is no longer with us.
Remember when they gave him that funeral?
Yeah. Yeah, we lost McGruff.
What was the police?
It was a shootout. McGruff pulls out a machine gun. Shoots at an SUV driving right at him.
I feel like McGruff dies in a blaze of glory. Like he just like runs across the street with a machine gun, just going all out.
Christopher going Nolan's out McGruff.
What's his middle name?
No, Christopher Nolan is going to remake McGruff.
Oh, I thought you were like reading his.
Oh
eulogy,
no, I
like...
didn't know his name. No. Finally, get Michael Caine to be like, I work for McGruff, because he's in every one of the Christopher Nolan movies.
He is?
Yeah. McGruff, what are we going to do?
Make some crack and cocaine.
McGruff, you making more crack and cocaine?
Oh my god. I mean, it's a really good idea for a movie. Like the King of New York kind of thing, like
I don't get high on my own supply till I do, and that's act two.
That's act, yeah. I love it. We could get a McGruff reboot going, a gritty McGruff.
So easy. So easy to do.
Yeah, this anyway, Joe Rogan podcast is trash.
Yeah, what else is this Joe Rogan?
Any feedback so far before we get to the next clip? Any feedback for Joe Rogan?
They should probably learn how to read. Might help future installments of his show if he could read words.
Mm. I think he's doing great.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's see how this next clip plays.
Waiting for Doug Stanhope to. When does Doug Stanhope come in? Where are the juggies?
You know, I don't have any Stanhope. I mean, there's just so much to choose from here. I mean, literally, 1,700 episodes to choose from. I did want to show you this next one. He does get, big guests on the Joe Rogan Experience. That's another trademark. And he asks them the big questions. This next clip is when he had Elon Musk on the show. Elon Musk.
Ah.
And this is them. The world's most popular podcaster and the world's wealthiest man. And they're chatting about colonizing the galaxy. See what you think of this.
Okay.
If you think this can
out
be
of my
improved on.
Out of my
it's time before there's
zone.
Regular travel back and forth to Mars. Roughly. Like a real civilization on Mars.
Well, I think it's going to take a while to build a real civilization.
Mm-mm.
The threshold that really matters is
it's for real.
The dumbest thing ever.
Filter is.
Do we hold have on, can you pause it for a second?
Yeah,
first of all, Elon Musk is wearing a bandana like he's a goddamn Labrador.
Yeah, like he just got back from the groomers. Elon, you were here to pick Elon up. Bring him out with a fancy bandana on. Ooh. My doggy got a bandana on. He's so groomed today. Look at him.
My doggy got a bath and a haircut.
Yeah.
And these two, lunkheads are sitting in what looks like the spaceship you would dine in that like space themed restaurant from the early
Mars 2112. Yeah. It's like
they're shooting
it from the abandoned Mars 2112 on 48th right. Street.
Right. And that you're basically waiting for a server to come in and be like, and here are your space fries.
Yeah.
And here is your Neptune salad. I'll be right back to make sure. And then she comes back and she's like, how's everything tasting?
This is the dumbest. This is truly the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, because
it's basically like Fred and Barney. It's like you're watching Fred and Barney.
But imagine, Julie, I'm going to ask you a question the way Joe Rogan just asked him a question. Julie, when do you think that we're going to have time travel, like real time travel? Like, I mean, like serious, where you could just press a button and you could travel go back to 1800s, 1500s, back to dinosaur times. Like, seriously, when do you think that'll happen? And this guy's supposed to just go, I don't know.
No. This is Elon Musk. Takes like a long time to kind of compose
himself. He rides the pause forever.
He thinks about it, and then he goes, it's going to be a while, I think, before we have time travel.
Oh, you think? You think it'll be a while before we're colonized on Mars? It's going to take a while.
Okay.
Oh, it will. We just can't do it this year. Be colonized on Mars.
What is this?
We can't even get. You can't even get the right cable to charge an iPhone.
I can't even get these leggings not to smell bad.
Yes, these LuLaRoe leggings. I can't get to stop stinking up the house.
They stink! I can't even put these colonizing Mars. Yeah, let's start with these leggings. Welcome, they smell like shit. I have a question. Why do these leggings smell like shit?
He's so... It's like a weird...
I don't understand the appeal of people turning to these men to... I guess they're both rich. I guess that's appealing to people.
They just like the idea that the guy who's at the MMA fights makes them feel smart.
Okay.
The MMA announcer that used to do Fear Factor.
Okay. What else are these two?
Mars, such that if the spaceships from Earth stop coming,
you can survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can only be just missing one little thing. You'd be like, you're on a long sea voyage, and the only thing you're missing is vitamin C. It's only a matter of time, you know?
Yeah.
What is this conversation?
You got to have all the things necessary to sustain civilization on Mars.
Hold on a second. What an observation that only he could come up with.
He just has...
Hold on, we're going to need stuff to live when we live on Mars?
Am I missing something? This is a rich guy that's interested in Mars. Is this right? Yeah. Okay.
So
he doesn't have any, like,
all the stuff to live. You're going to need food and water and...
Grimes.
And oxygen and grimes and all the things that are essential to living. You're going to need it because for there to be sustainability on Mars, we're going to need housing and shelter and water and food. It's just like, I would need these things on a freaking camping trip, you idiot. I could go on a hike and I need those things also. Let me write this. Let me get my pad out here. Oh, so we're going to need oxygen and when we're on Mars.
You put your pad out.
Yeah.
The first thing you do is write Mars and underline it.
Mars.
And
then anything else. Living on Mars. Let's see. To live. Well, food. He says we're going to need food. He said water also.
That would distract me. I'd have a whole new list of food. And then I just go grocery shopping.
Yeah. Please play a little more.
World War III, or it could be due to a slow decline of civilization. So civilization here on Earth could end with a bang or a whimper.
Or natural disasters.
Yeah.
Asteroid impacts, yeah, super volcano. Up
in the bang category.
Yeah.
But it could also be like a whole series of things. Like what killed the dinosaurs? Well, right. It wasn't just one thing, you know.
Right.
It was like a whole bunch of things happened in a row and you know, they could have taken any one of those things. They had like three things happen and no dinosaurs.
Which is kind of amazing that crocodiles are still here.
Yeah.
Well, they're resilient.
Crocodiles, they'll live on decayed meat. They love rotten meat. And so,
can you pause it, please?
It's like a dare to see who can keep pretending they know what they're talking about. Who can? It's like they're calling their each other's bluff to keep acting like authorities when they're just saying nothing.
If you were seated at a restaurant next to these two guys
having
this conversation,
yeah,
I would ask to move tables.
My dinner with Elon, the sequel, it's back. These crocodiles, man. These crocodiles are effing tough, man.
they sure do love rotten meat.
Well, they live on decaying meat, and
that's just like why the dinosaurs
these crocodiles, have been destroyed. Man.
There was lots of reasons.
These crocodiles are effing tough.
Keep going, man,
I gotta tell you, these crocodiles.
I just want to add too. I did a real deep dive into Rogan for this segment, and I know it's okay. And he has several preoccupations. You know things that he can't stop talking about. He loves sharing COVID disinformation. He loves talking about DMT. He loves having on just absolute psychopaths from the far right and giving them a platform. But at the top of the list, I kid you not, he cannot stop talking about alligators and crocodiles. Uh-huh. He brings up alligators and crocodiles. I mean, there's like 20 clips if you search for Rogan, alligators, crocodiles. And this is in separate interviews, separate episodes.
They're not that fascinating.
It's for some reason always on the tip of his tongue.
Any kind of disastrous situation, there's a lot of dead creatures. And the crocodiles love it. So that's why they're around. Crocodiles and bugs and mushrooms.
And shrews.
Shrews, yeah.
Which is why we're here.
Yeah, exactly. Our great grandparents were shrews.
What a strange thing.
So, like, yeah.
To come from. So there's hope. There's hope for all you rodents out there.
Yeah.
One day you can go to Mars. Just keep doing your homework.
Absolutely.
So there'll be...
That's something
filter.
I said that didn't make any sense. Let's keep talking.
What is he dressed? First of all, what's he wearing here? What's he auditioning for the sleeper?
He's wearing like a very tight, speaking of Henley, he's wearing a tight Henley shirt. Like a very white. Joe Rogan, I feel like, dresses for his nipples first. It's one of those things where like the first thing you always see about him is his nipples.
Will my headlights be pronounced? Mm-hmm. Through the, is this shirt going to show off my nipples? No, it won't. Then I don't want it. Remember when he was in that ice bath?
Ugh, yeah, and his nipples were like two corks.
Yeah. Yeah, he's as dumb as the day is long, this guy. But he just talks like an authority, and people believe it because he knows how to say it in a very measured... He breaks things down into a few words at a time, and it makes him seem authoritative.
I don't even think that's true. I truly don't. I don't get it, but it also seems like something that's so not for me that I feel stupid even criticizing it, because there are certain notes like that, like only animals can hear, or like apparently like if you're young you can hear certain notes in the skin. Like, to me, this is for a certain kind of man. Like, I honestly feel like I've invaded upon some sort of man cave, you know, space that, like, even overhearing them, I feel like I should not be here.
Sure. It's got like an Eyes Wide Shut vibe.
But well, speaking of Eyes Wide Shut, this last clip I got for you here is Joe Rogan talking about Stanley Kubrick. Joe's thoughts on Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, finally, Tom. I knew that you wanted to know what he thought of Barry Lyndon.
Well, I was on the bubble with Kubrick. Maybe this will help make the decision for me. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this guy, when he makes these movies.
Yeah.
These movies.
Yeah. Crocodiles can't make movies.
You can't get a freaking crocodile to make a movie like this. Oh, of course, and the moon landing. Of course, he's going to talk about the fake.
Oh, that's the context, of course. He has nothing to say about Barry Lyndon. He doesn't have a favorite part of Strangelove.
Kubrick was a strange guy.
Yeah.
He would do complex mathematics in his spare time?
Really?
Yeah. He's like a legitimate genius.
Wow.
And he would put all sorts of like weird hidden meaning into all of his movies. Like, a thing was never just a thing. Like, there's a big crazy conspiracy about The Shining that inside of it is all sorts of information that it relates to the moon landing.
Yeah. The room in the hotel shirt. It was room 127, and the moon is 127,000 miles from the Earth or something.
No, it's like 237.
Whatever it was.
The moon is like 200. I think it's room 237, right? Yeah, 237.
Orville Redenbacher?
That's the documentary.
What's going on here? See, if Orville Redenbacher on the show?
Wait, Craig Ferguson, you mean? I mean, Craig Fitzsimmons?
Yeah. Is that who that is?
Yeah.
I thought it was Orville Redenbacher for a second, but look, God bless him.
I thought you meant Orville Wright.
Craig Fitzsimmons. He can have him. Look, these two guys, I hate watching people flail around acting like authorities when they do not know what they're talking about.
Well, then we're going to need a bigger boat, Tom. I don't know what to tell you. That seems to be on the menu today.
Oh, I know.
That's why I'm saying if you were sitting next to these guys at a restaurant, you would have to ask to move tables. Yeah. You'd lose your mind.
I'd ask for two breadsticks. I'd stick them in my ears like earplugs. No, it's like, look, I'm dumb.
You're fine.
No.
You're smart enough to say you're dumb.
In my own way, I get by. In my own way, I get by. Please, I'm fine. Yeah, but please. I don't.
You're the smartest.
I can't teach a course on any. Like they act like this is like you just walked in on a professor's lecture. Yes,
you could teach a course on something.
But the idea, they're so confident.
Yeah.
In all of this.
Yeah, you're right.
Confident in it.
I'm barely
confident in things I can be confident in.
That is why I feel as a woman like I am eavesdropping on something that is so foreign to me. Like this may as well be Mars, mm-hmm. because as a it's exactly what you said. Even if you know about everything, to have this kind of confidence. Mm-hmm. About something that you're not completely airtight about and to still open your yapper.
You, as a woman, mm-hmm. Julie, all kidding aside, do you feel that, I mean, sometimes people say the best part about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun. Do you believe that that's true?
Yeah.
So you go totally crazy?
I mean,
forget you're a lady.
Sometimes I'm just like, whoa, oh.
men's shirts and short skirts. Do it in style.
Action,
feeling attraction.
Can I just say this? Can I say that sometimes
color your
I
hair,
like
do what you dare.
Men's shirts. I like mm-hmm. to do sometimes. I like to do men's skirts. Short shirts,
yes. It's like a crop top, like a Mark Gastineau crop top.
Yeah, and a men's skirt, like a kilt.
Sure, like Craig Ferguson, who was just on the show here.
I go, the best thing about being a woman. Oh, put that music back, Brett. We'll do this in our presentation. Hi. Hold on. Let's go, girls. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise? Really raise my voice? Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. No inhibitions. Make no conditions. Get a little out of line. I ain't gonna act politically correct. I only want to have a good time. Now, if you're like me, you know that the best thing about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun. And, yeah, I go totally crazy. I forget I'm a lady. Men's shirts, short skirts. Oh. Sometimes I really do go wild, but I'm doing it in style. Now is your opportunity to get in on the action. Everyone in this room can feel the attraction. If you want to color my hair, if you want to do what I dare, you want to be free and to feel the way I feel. Man, I feel like a woman. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to Double Threat. We'll be back next week with a new episode. And rate,
and review us over at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, he stopped the music. He stopped the music.
Oh, so, oh right. I'm so sorry.
It's
so sorry.
Fine. Are we done with all the...
that's fine.
No, it's great. It's not so like we sorry. Were on a roll or anything.
I don't want to do any more Joe Rogan. It's truly...
it's too upsetting.
He sucks. Here's my podcast rescue. You can't rescue it.
Unrescuable.
Unrescuable.
Dead on arrival.
Flush it.
But we're punching up because he got all the money.
We are punching up.
Yeah.
And now we are punching out.
Yeah, damn straight.
Now, really, look, I'll say this. Julie, doing the show with you is the highlight of my week. It's a
highlight of my life.
It's fun. And Brett, I'm glad you're back. Yep. And
Mazel tov on your beautiful baby.
Thank you for
nothing but blessings.
Beautiful, beautiful blessing, baby boy.
Thank you.
So
appreciate
cute.
To this
thank
beautiful,
you.
Beautiful child.
Miracle.
Who will continue the Forever Dog Network.
Yes.
This baby is the future of podcasting.
Mm-hmm. He's your next of kin.
Yes. And the business will be in great hands with little podcast the baby.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
But in the meantime, we're in the present day. And listen, tell your friends about Double Threat, would you?
Yeah, tweet about us. Please write an article about us, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, where's the article? There's been like
where's
zero
article?
Articles.
There's no press.
Zero press. Zilch.
Come on. Zilch. What the hell? What the heck?
We couldn't even get an article in Magic Spoon Monthly. That's how it's going for us. Magic Spoon's trade publication didn't even want to talk to us.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah. Better health aficionado.
Nothing. Zip.
No article on us.
Zero.
Yeah. All right.
We will be back next week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, my friends.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.